Give us all courage to share our faith. And now I'll do the scripture reading. This is Jeremiah 2, 12 through 14. Is that right? 12 and 13. Be appalled at this, you heavens, and shudder with great horror, declares the Lord. My people have committed two sins. They have forsaken me, the spring of living water, and have dug their own cisterns, broken cisterns that cannot hold water.
Happy Sabbath. It's a pleasure to be with you this Sabbath. I'm sending my greetings from the Big Island of Hawaii. And so in my country, we say aloha. And one of the privileges about living in Hawaii is that Hawaii has a time clock. And as I'm looking at this time clock here, both hands are right in the middle at midnight. And so Hawaii time, that means they're just starting church right now. So you ready for church? Yes. Amen. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you're ready for church. I'm glad you're ready to hear God's still small voice. And I'm glad you're ready to hear a thus saith the Lord. Before I begin, I would ask you to kindly bow your heads with me before I pray. Heavenly Father, it's not by might nor by power, but it's by your Spirit, saith the Lord of hosts. And Lord, as the Spirit of God can infuse these feeble beings such as I, Lord, enlighten us with the light that shines from Jesus. May he be lifted up and glorified. We pray and ask this in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. Troublesome times are here, filling our hearts with fear. Freedoms we all hold dear now are at stake. Humble your hearts to God, safe from the chastening rod. Seek the way pilgrims trod, Christians awake. Jesus is coming soon, morning or night or noon. Many will meet their doom. Trumpets shall surely sound. All the dead shall rise. Righteous meet in the skies. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Going where no one dies. Heavenward bound. Do you want to go? You making plans? Because I have been with you folks for just a wee bit. And I got to tell you, me and my family have been blessed immensely by your aloha. You got aloha, some of you do. I'm going to tell you. And it's been a privilege to be with you. And it's been wonderful to be with you. But you know what? There's a better place I want to go and meet you. And so I say this often, but I really mean it. So we have to make plans for heaven. Can you say with me, second Sabbath? Hold on. I'm going to say, second Sabbath? Wow, you're sounding better. Underneath the tree of life. Be there. Praise God. You know, that's where I want to meet. Second Sabbath. I might not get to meet you again in California. I might not get to meet you again on this planet, but you know what? Second Sabbath underneath the tree of life. We all got a ticket. It's better than the Wonka ticket. Amen? It's better than the stimulus check. Amen? It's better than anything else. So don't trade it for anything else. Treasure it. Hold fast. God says he's going to return. You know, I want to read this in the Bible. And You don't mind I take these off? You all blurring with the sand, you know? I feel like I'm at the ocean now. Praise God. It says, be astonished, O ye heavens, at this. Be horribly afraid. Be very desolate, saith the Lord. For my people have committed two evils. They have forsaken me, the fountain of living water, and have hewn them out cisterns. Broken cisterns that can hold no water. You know, something where I come from, water is in abundance. I live on the wet side of Big Island, Hawaii. Our record for 24 hours is 54 inches of water. And you know what? In another 24 hours, it's all gone. It doesn't stay there. But over here, water's a lot more valuable, isn't it? You remember the story of the prophet Elijah? He was on Mount Carmel, and it hadn't rained for 3.5 years. 42 months. Kind of like California a little bit, especially certain parts. For 3.5 years, no rain. Yet the prophet said, bring me 4 barrels of water and dump it on my sacrifice. And just don't do it once, do it again. And he dug a trench that went around the altar, and the trench filled up with all water. And as the trench filled up with water, he said, do it a third time. Now at this point, water, it hadn't rained for 42 months. 12 barrels of water were just dumped on a sacrifice. Let me tell you, we have to give our all to Jesus. Don't hold back anything. Give the best that you have to Jesus. Even as valuable water is, without it, there's no life. But with it, you can grow an abundant, tasty, delicious tomato. Amen? And if you haven't had one recently, talk to some of my friends. Because they know. And you know that tomato tastes so good? You don't even need salt. You can leave the salt in the shaker. And you can just grind, and the tomato can just drip down your mouth. And you can just enjoy it as it spreads all over the plate. And you can get into your food. You know, I've been privileged to have children. And some of my children, they're older now. But you know what? When my children were young, in Hawaii we call it, they would sit down and grind. You know, if you held out, and I give my children a Hayden mango. And if you haven't had a Hayden mango before, you're going to get a taste of it come heaven. You know what I'm saying? It's that close. It's that good. It's that sweet. And when the mango, they eat it, it runs down their mouth. And it's all of, and they love it so much. You know what they like the best out of the mango? The seed. They like the seed because they can just sit there and chew on it. And it's so sweet and so delicious. You know what? That should be our relationship with Christ. Every day it should be sweet. Sweeter than the day before. If you've got a bitter relationship, if you've got present truth and you're holding it in hostility, you don't have Jesus. Return to the first love of God. Return, say, Jesus, I need a sweet relationship. You shouldn't be sad, Venice. What? I only heard one amen. You shouldn't be sad, Venice. You should be glad, Venice. Why? You have a Savior. Who's your Savior? Jesus Christ is your Savior. And the best thing is Jesus says that he's coming again. Don't hold on to anything else. Houses and lands will perish. Islands like America will flee away.
like America. It's surrounded by water, if you haven't seen that recently. All the islands are going to flee away come that day, sister. And the only safety there is in Jesus Christ. Don't be fooled. Don't be settled on a title or a mountain here. God is coming again. And he hasn't left us desolate. And he said, we need to be awake. We need to not be slumbering. We need to be preparing. So let's look at this. I want to look at some of the Bible texts, what the Bible says. So if you have your Bibles or your device, turn with me in the Bible. This is another text that brings it out. Jeremiah, I'm reading. Also Jeremiah 6:16. And this is what the Bible says. It says, thus saith the Lord, stand ye in the ways and see, and ask for the old paths, wherein the good way, and walk therein, and ye shall find rest for your souls. But they said, we will not walk in the old ways. You know, here it is, these two evils. God's people has forsaken him. Jesus is living water. You realize that? And they've hewed out cisterns that are broken, that can hold no water. If you aren't getting a fill up from Jesus Christ, and you're trying to maintain that in a broken vessel that can't hold the goodness of God, you got to go to Jesus. Because he says, a new heart also will I give thee, a new spirit will I put within thee, and I will cause thee to have the what? Stony heart taken out of thee, and I will give thee a heart of flesh. True heart work, true operation, it was when you let the great physician work on your heart and my heart. And you can be made new. And instead of putting the poop that your neighbor puts on your side of the fence, and you put it back on his side of the fence, you go back over, you say, you know what, neighbor? I've got some brownies for you. I've got some fresh apple pie. And taste this tomato I grew. I want to give this to you too. This is the biggest and the best and the sweetest tomato I've got. Let me give you the best. And if they keep blowing smoke in your face, you keep blowing prayers towards them. Don't forsake living waters. Amen? Don't sell out on anything else. This is another Bible text that I like, and you can find it with me in the book of Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 55, and this is verse 11. And it says, so shall my word be that goeth forth out of my mouth. It shall not return unto me void, but it shall accomplish that which I please, and it shall prosper in the thing whereunto I send it. God's word goes out, and it brings forth a harvest. So the main thing is, if you're not putting God's word in, you're not going to get God's word out. Where should this go in? Where should the word of God go in? Thy word have I hidden in my heart. Where is our heart? Our mind up here. This is the heart of your thoughts, right? So someone said to me like this, what you think about, thoughts make up your feelings, or feelings make up your thoughts. Thoughts and feelings go together, right? And they form your actions. Actions form your character. And character forms your destiny. So we have to behold whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are a good report. What are we supposed to do? Think on these things. Don't, you know, I read a story one time when people are there, and I've been here now just a little bit. And this, I got to be honest with you, I've been here the best time of year. I'm going to be honest with you. The Lord brought us at the best time of year. Not only did we have beautiful meetings and all these things, but It has been a time of harvest time. And you know, that's the best time I like. I do like it when you sow. I like it when you plant. I like it when you grow. But when you can go and you can harvest. And you pick and you have abundance. You next, what can you do next when you got abundance? You can share it. And you know what? When we harvest God's word into our heart, in our mind daily, and we get an abundance. You realize that? And then you can go and share the truth as it is in Jesus. And you're waiting for Jesus to tell you, now's the time. Be still and know this is the time. This is a time when you can be a courage to someone that is brokenhearted. This is a time when you can gather strength from someone's weakness. And this is a time when you can gather courage from their cowardice. And this is a time, Lord, that we can look to you, who is the author and finisher of our faith. Don't look to man. Look to the man Christ Jesus. Amen? All right, so that's Isaiah 55. And it's what's interesting is it's got the word return. So God's going to bring forth a return. Okay? So let's turn with me to 1 Samuel. What book did I say, everyone? 1 Samuel. We're going to start with chapter 1 because this is what the Bible says. So 1 Samuel, chapter 1. And I thought I marked it here, but maybe I didn't. So give me a minute to get there. Lord knows. That's why we say repetition deepens impression. Amen? God is first. Okay, 1 Samuel, chapter 1. And this is what the Bible says. Oh, I marked it, but I marked it so I couldn't see it. All right, praise God. It says, there was a certain man, and his name was Elkanah. And he had two wives. The name of the one was Hannah. The other one was Peninnah. And Peninnah had children, but Hannah had no children. And this man went up yearly to sacrifice. Verse 3. And the priest had two sons, Eli and Phinehas, and the priest of the Lord. And at the time, Elkanah offered, and he gave to Peninnah, his wife, to all her sons and her daughters portions. But to Hannah, verse 5, he gave a worthy portion. The Bible makes it very clear. But verse 6 says something interesting. And her adversary also provoked her sore for to make her fret because the Lord had shut up her womb. Hannah was childless. Hannah had no child. Her husband loved her so much that he even gave her what the Bible calls a worthy portion, like she had children. And Elkanah tried to comfort his wife, saying, am I not more worthy to you than 10 children or 10 sons? You know how much that must have hurt Hannah? You realize how much she was hurting? Do you realize what this woman went through? Being childless, no children. And her husband says that? Have mercy. I know I've said some things to my spouse sometimes I regret saying. And if the Lord reminds you of those things, husbands, apologize. Amen? Don't think they don't need apology. It's good to say, I'm sorry, or I made a mistake. Amen? And so Elkanah says this, and so... What's interesting, it says, Hannah rose up after they had eaten at Shiloh, and after they drunk, and Eli the priest sat upon the seat of the post of the temple of the Lord. And she prayed, and she was in bitterness of soul, and prayed unto the Lord, and wept sore. If you are in bitterness of soul, there's only one person you should weep to, and that's God. Don't tell your problems to the other brother or sister in the church. Go to God and God alone. Don't bring it to the pastor who's got enough issues he's dealing with. Tell it to God and God alone. Don't get so thing you have to put it on YouTube and say, poor me, support me, because I'm in a bad situation and I just can't get over myself on this. You should be telling Jesus and Jesus alone. Hannah did this. She was in bitterness of soul. I don't know if you've been in bitterness of soul. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil. My cup, what does it do? Runneth over. It's not just half full or half empty, as some people like to debate. But it runneth over. Hannah got an experience with God. She prayed to God. What's interesting about this whole situation, too, is this was part of the most corrupt priesthood that was happening in the church at the time. Eli's sons, what they were doing was not of God. And Eli allowed it. But God was still using the church. Amen? God had not forsaken the church. People who are forsaking the church, getting away from the church, starting their own church, or home church, whatever kind of church you want to call it. We are Sabbath keepers, we're Seventh-day Adventists. God was using the church. God wants to use this church here in Fortuna. It's not coincidence you guys are put right out here on the main road. Don't think you just happened to come across this and this and this. God allowed you to be here. And for such a time as this, he's called you to be here for his glory. Don't think it's for your own, puffing your own self up. I'm living in the country. I got country living down. And I've got all these things. And I got food and stock and supply. And I can make it through the little time of trouble. And I'm a prepper. And I got places in the ground. And I got my ARs. And I'm set up. You know, the sad thing today is people go to a church. They call it the church of the AR. Have mercy. People are confused. Because they're not having a relationship with Jesus. Because they've gotten away from Christ. Hannah here, she took her troubles to Jesus and Jesus alone. And it's interesting here as you go down. And Eli thought she was drunk because her mouth moved. But the words were in her heart. You do not need to say words to pray. You do not need to have your eyes closed to pray. You do not have to have your hands folded to pray. You know, I was driving with my mother-in-law with the temperature and the thermometer on the inside of the car said 46 degrees. And I was leaving Christmas Day, going back home to Hawaii, and the temperature got down to 23 degrees, from 46 to 23. And I was in the most wonderful state that you can do this in. It's called Oklahoma, okay? And I'm telling you, it went from gray to white. And everything was going sideways. I don't know if you've ever been in that kind of weather. And I'm driving. I'm driving my mother-in-law's new car, too. We went to go change lanes. And then all of a sudden, we're going around in circles on the highway. And there's a big median, cement median. And a big, tall clump of trees. And we went right down in the nice, soft grass. And all the time, we're spinning around in the car and doing two or three donuts.
My mother-in-law's like, Jesus! Jesus here? She's like, Jesus! Jesus was there. Jesus help. Jesus was merciful. I'm like, and as soon as we stop, I'm like, quick, call a tow truck. But you know what I mean? Bottom line is, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he always wants us to call out to him. He's preparing for his soon return. He's let us know that how bad it's going to be. There's no more sanctity or holiness to life anymore. People can look at you and they can shoot you without a second glance. But if you got Jesus, it don't matter. Your salvation is secured in Christ. And you can have love for others that are out to hate you, because the infilling of Christ is in your life. So Hannah prayed. She prayed earnestly. And I'm going to go down a little bit. And what's amazing to me, she prayed. And a couple of the children came up here. And Hannah says this prayer. She says, I want to, not just any prayer. She was specific. I want a boy. Wow. You ever have that situation? You're praying, Lord, you know what? I need a vehicle, but I need this kind of vehicle. And the Lord says, okay, I'll give you that kind of vehicle. Might not be then. It might be sometime in the future, but you might have to wait patiently. And at this point, Hannah prayed for a son, and she says, I'm not going to let a razor touch his head. Praise God for long hair. Amen? I love to see the young people with long hair, the young little boys, and they got long hair. I'm like, man, those are like little Samuels running around. It's beautiful to see. And so she prays. And listen what she says. And Hannah went not up. She said to her husband, for I will not go up, for the child is not weaned. And I will bring, verse 22, before the Lord, therefore I abide forever. Elkanah, her husband, said, to do what is good, seemeth good to thee, tarry till thou have weaned him. Only the Lord established his word. So the woman abode and gave her son suck until she weaned him. So this is right after his weaning days. Right? And they slew a bullock, and they brought the child to Eli. And she said, O my Lord, as the soul liveth, my Lord, in whom the woman stood by thee, praying unto the Lord. For this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given me my petition I have asked of him. Wow. Do you realize this is ask, seek, knock. What does that mean? Asking, seeking, knocking. That's a state of continuance. That's a state. I'm dependent. I'm continuing to ask God, for his mercies are new every morning. That's what this book says. I'm continuing to ask him for his blessings. Continuing to seek after God with all your heart. You've invested everything to trust God and rely wholly upon him. Hannah did that. And she says, this is the boy that I brought, and he's weaned. Interesting enough, that the name Samuel means lent of God or asked of God. God granted her petition. And she had six more. Wow. Wow, that's a wow, isn't it? You know, I don't know how I made it through those years. I look back on my life, I'm like, wow, I had four and four under four. I felt like wearing a t-shirt. I used to go to Costco, and the only thing I would buy would be Pampers and wipes, and people thought I was running a nursery. Praise God for mother-in-laws. I would have never made it through them years. God knows. He knows what we can handle. But I look back now, I'm like, wow.
Lord has led us safely all the way. All the way our Savior leads us. So she brought Samuel. And for this child I prayed, and the Lord hath given him my petition. I asked of him. Therefore, verse 28, also I have lent him to the Lord. As long as he liveth, he shall be lent to the Lord, and he shall worship the Lord there. So it's an all or nothing commitment, isn't it? Do you think she wanted to hold back her boy? You answer me this question. How precious was Samuel to this mother Hannah? Everything was invested in Samuel. She gave all. It's all or nothing, everyone. It's either you're with Christ or you're against Jesus. Don't have a broken cistern that can't hold water. And you think you got greasy grace, you're going to make it through the last days of Earth's history just being a good person. We need Jesus more now than ever before. We need him as a community. We need to be praying for our firefighters, for our first responders, for our police. We need to be praying for this state that has gone total wrong direction. We need to be praying for this country that's influencing the world and not a right direction. And we need to be praying for our leaders. God can even use them. God's got Daniels in place, doesn't he? Prayer will change you. I want to read you a little bit from this book. And it says here, this is a great little book. If you have never seen a copy of it, it's printed by a guy named, the author's name is M.L. Andreessen. And it says, and so we pray because we need God. We need his love and fellowship. We need his care and guidance. We pray because we love him who first loved us, and because we find in him a satisfaction of the soul, not to be obtained elsewhere. We pray not to get what we want, but to find out what he wants. We pray not to get him to change his mind, but to have our minds changed. We pray not to have him change his plans for us, but to ask him to help us willingly accept his plans. We pray not primarily to avoid pain, but for strength to bear it. We pray not to be taken out of this world, but to be kept faithful while in it. We pray not to escape hardship or trials, but for patience to endure them. We pray not to escape work, but for the wisdom to know how to do it and do it well. We pray first, last, and I'm going to add best, because we love him, who has loved us, because we treasure his fellowship and the saint and that of the saints. God is about to return. He's looking. He's looking here in Fortuna. And he's looking and he's looking for you. Put your name there. Jesus is looking for you. And you know what he's looking at you for? A reflection of himself. When the character of Christ is fully reproduced, he's coming. When you can endure whatever they can
put you in a sewer up to your neck like this, and you can still be praying, and they can be starving you, and they can put you in a hot box for 90 days. And they can strip you down to all you have is your skin and bones. You can still praise God. The dead praise not God. So if you're living today, if you're breathing today, you can praise the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, whose name is Jesus. Because every knee is going to bow, every tongue is going to confess that Christ is Lord of all. Even Lucifer himself is going to bow the knee. But it'll be too late. Don't do it then. Today is the day. Don't put it off. Don't sell it out for a bowl of porridge. Don't trade it in for a new vehicle. Don't trade it in for a luxury home. Make sure we're building a sure foundation. Hannah prayed. I love these next verses, by the way. It says, Hannah prayed and said, my heart rejoiceth in the Lord. My horn is exalted in the Lord. She says, my mouth is enlarged over mine enemies. Because I rejoice in thy salvation. She says, there is none holy as the Lord, neither is there any besides thee. She says, talk no more so exceeding proudly. Let not arrogancy come out of your mouth, for the Lord is a God of knowledge, and by him actions are weighed. God knows. Trust him. Rely upon him. Build that relationship with him.